Thank you for joining us today. This is Mother's Day, and I am so disappointed that we can't all be here this morning celebrating together our mothers. But wherever you are today, please take the time, if you can, to thank your mother, to thank the mother of your children, and make this day really, really special for them. But again, thank you for joining us today. This is a Mother's Day message, so it's a little different. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke chapter 10 and follow along as I read, please, beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered today, we've come to the beginning of a new week. Last week is done. For some, last week was a real challenge. For others, not so much. But Father, we've all come here today to hear from you, what your word has to say to us. We don't know what this week holds, but you do. We know that you are in charge. Nothing will surprise you. You'll only bring into our lives those challenges that together we can meet, responding faithfully, obediently, with the instruction of your word, the direction of your Holy Spirit. We can meet any challenge that you allow into our lives. And it is with that confidence that we look forward to this week. In addition to that, Father, this is a special day. This is a day when we as a nation have said we need to pause and be very, very thankful for our mothers. Now, certainly, that's an attitude that should be a part of our everyday lives. Thank you, Father, for our mothers. Thank you for the mothers of our children and for the mothers of our grandchildren. I pray, Father, especially this morning for those who have recently lost their mothers, their grandmothers. We lost one in our church family earlier this year. Those hearts, our hearts, are tender at a time like this. Comfort and encourage as only you can. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence. As we gather here this morning, take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke introduces us here in chapter 10 to a couple of ladies that are going to be very important in the life of Jesus and his disciples, the ministry that they are going to have, especially in the area around Jerusalem. Luke says here in verse 38, "Now as they were traveling along," and that's Jesus and his disciples, "he entered a village." Now Luke doesn't tell us here, but we know from elsewhere that this is the village of Bethany. "And a woman named Martha welcomed her into her home. She had a sister called Mary." So Martha and Mary are the subjects, the focus of this paragraph here at the end of Luke chapter 10. But as happens from time to time, two sisters are the focus of attention. I would hurry to remind you that they also had a brother by the name of Lazarus. Yes, that Lazarus from John chapter 11. Together, this family would become friends and supporters of Jesus and his disciples. Now, I want to make three observations here about these ladies and Jesus' response to them. First of all, these women, these two sisters, could not be more different. First of all, Mary, last part of verse 39, Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. So as we come into this little village of Bethany and focus on the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, Jesus and his disciples have come. Jesus is teaching, and Mary is simply seated at Jesus' feet, taking in every word. The first part of verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations." Two sisters. If I had to guess, and I will, Martha's the older, Mary's the younger. Martha is distracted with all her preparations, Luke says. In other words, it's getting to be about mealtime. And remember, in the first century, it wasn't a matter of simply going to the refrigerator and pulling something out, picking up the phone and calling for carryout or delivery. Nothing, almost nothing, was prepared quickly and easily. A lot of thought went into mealtime. Now, we know very little else about this family, but there were at least three adults here living regularly, making meal preparations. Jesus has come with his disciples. The group is considerably larger. So while mealtime might have been a bit easier if it had just been the three of them, it's become much more difficult. Mary, sitting in with the others, listening to Jesus. Martha, don't know if they called it a kitchen or not, but Martha is making preparations. She's busy. Luke says she's distracted with her preparations. Was she listening? Probably. Was she wanting to listen to what Jesus had to say? Probably. We don't know where these folks are at this point in their spiritual journey. We know where they end up, but we don't know where they're at here. She may have been just as interested in as Mary was in what Jesus had to say. You've been in that situation probably. Working, doing something, but at the same time wanting to listen to the TV, the radio, conversation in the next room, but distracted by what you were doing. And that's exactly what's going on here. These women could not be more different. But it's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of personality. One perhaps is more practical than the other. One is more sensitive than the other. Each reflecting how they are naturally bent. Their personalities. Again, Mary perhaps being the younger, maybe always having a little less responsibility, a little more freedom, maybe, finds it easy to just be sitting there listening to Jesus while Martha is busy in the kitchen. Martha, perhaps the older, feels the responsibility. I've got all of these people here. I need to feed them. I need to get around what I need to be able to do that. I want to be a good hostess, especially for Jesus. Whether she understands fully who he is yet or not, I want to be a good hostess. And in the middle of all of that, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening, drinking it all in. Martha in the kitchen, getting things ready, cooking, preparing, all of that sort of thing. And maybe even rattling a pan or two in the process. These women, who could not be more different, all of a sudden, the older sister, and I'm just assuming this, but the older sister proves to be the queen of fairness. Now, I've borrowed that phrase. It's not original to me by any means, but I've seen it played out more than once. This situation is not fair. So, the rest of verse 40 says, and she, Martha, came up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Now, this suggests that either Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus have already established something of a relationship. Enough so that Jesus knows who Martha is and what she's busy about, and the relationship between her and Mary, perhaps her younger sister, the two of them being sisters, the two of them being a part of this home that has been so graciously opened to Jesus and his disciples. He apparently, or at least Martha believes, he understands the relationship and the responsibilities. So she asks, Martha asks Jesus this rhetorical question. It's rhetorical, I think, because clearly she assumes his answer. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Surely you hear me in the kitchen. Surely you know that I'm busy getting ready to feed this group. Doesn't it bother you that my little sister's just sitting there doing nothing? She doesn't say that. But just sitting there? She doesn't give Jesus time to answer the question because she assumes the answer and says, then tell her to help me. Excuse her. Look at her and say, Mary, don't you think your sister could use a little help? Mary, thank you for listening so attentively, but surely Martha could use some help in the kitchen. Don't you think, Jesus, that's what you should do? It would only be fair. It's not fair that I'm in here doing all of this. And Mary isn't expected to help. Now, before we move into the third observation, let me just say, again, this is not a question of what is right or wrong, but rather how folks are bent. Think in terms of yourself and your role within the family. Those that make up your family. And as I think of you, specifically as mothers in your homes, I know there are some of you who are your great cooks, your great housekeepers, and you love that. It's just who you are. And then there are others of you that, that's just not how you're bent. That's just not what you enjoy doing. You have responsibilities outside of the home that not only fulfill you personally, but add greatly to your home. There are some of you who love to work with your hands in some way and produce things. Others of you would much rather curl up with a book, watch a good movie. Be encouraged, challenged intellectually that way. But what I have observed even more is that most of you are a little bit of both. Most of you recognize, for instance, there are times when meals need to be prepared. There are times when the house needs to be cleaned. There are times when things need to be put away. There are times when that practical stuff just has to be done, whether you do it yourself or make sure it gets done. That has to be done. And whether it's what you really want to do or not, you see that it gets done. And even those of you who can't imagine enjoying a rainy afternoon curled up on the couch with a good book, you've enjoyed that from time to time. You can't imagine it. It's just not who you are most of the time. And that's okay. Again, this is not about right or wrong. Sometimes it's about the season of life. Sometimes we need to serve because we're surrounded by those who need to be served. And you do that so well. Something special happens here at the church. And you're asked to help, and you do it so well. But there are also seasons in our life when we need to recharge. When despite everything else that's going on around us, we need to be at the feet of Jesus. Could a meal be prepared? Sure. Could a room be cleaned? Sure. Could this or that be picked up or put away? Sure. But right now, I need my batteries recharged. I can tell. And despite everything else that maybe needs to happen or should happen or will happen eventually today, right now, I need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus. So while these two sisters could not have been more different, and while the older is suddenly struck with this need to be fair, or feeling as though she is being treated unfairly, Jesus refocuses her priorities. And notice how Jesus does this. Verse 41. But the Lord said, or answered, and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, you're worried, you're bothered about so many things, which again suggests to me that this is not just about a woman who wants to get lunch. She wants to hear from Jesus too. She has been pulled away from Jesus because of these things that need to be done. And Jesus doesn't call her to task for being concerned about these things and doing those things. He says, understand, please, that there will always be meals to prepare. There will always be rooms to be cleaned. There will always be things to be put away. But think in terms of what Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen the good part, and Jesus identifies it this way, which cannot be taken away from her. Eventually, lunch will be served, and it will be much appreciated. But at the end of the day, after lunch has been enjoyed, dishes have been done, everything's been put away, it'll be time to begin thinking in terms of the next meal and what needs to be done to prepare that. That's always happening. That's always going on, Martha. And it's a good thing that you do that you enjoy doing that. But don't miss out on those opportunities to recharge the inner woman, your soul, your spirit. From time to time, it's okay to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. Meals are prepared and consumed with not much left. But when we sit at the feet of Jesus, when we listen to what he has to say, when we read and study God's word, it becomes a part of us that never leaves us. It becomes a part of how we think, how we respond. It becomes who we are. And that cannot be taken away from us. Mom, it is so easy to be bothered about so many things. Choose wisely. Sure, there are times when some things just need to be done, and they need to be done now. Recognize that. Respond faithfully, obediently, wisely. But also understand that there are other times when you just need to stop and be quiet and sit at Jesus' feet. Choose wisely. Focus. Focus on what cannot be taken away. These two sisters, did they get it right? They sure did. You may remember the story, John tells it in John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus' death. These two sisters had become so convinced of who Jesus is. They considered him their Lord and Savior, but they also knew that in that was his divine power over life and death. And they both knew that if he had been there, he could have healed their brother. They wouldn't have had to go through this. They knew who Jesus was. They know who he is. They trusted him as Savior and Lord. Both expressed their faith in him. And both watched with amazement as Jesus raised their brother, not from an illness, but from death. Not from a deathbed, but from a tomb. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the very Son of God, our Savior. Do the work of preparation? Be busy with it sometimes? Absolutely. But never forget, never overlook an opportunity to just sit at Jesus' feet. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to spend time in your word. And thank you, Father, for the example of these two sisters. Unique, couldn't be more different. Struggled from time to time because of their differences? Absolutely. But Jesus showed them how to get over the differences and how each, despite their uniqueness and differences, could each focus upon him, upon what could not be taken away from them. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ministry of our mothers, for the ministry of the mothers of our children. bless them, encourage them today. And Father, may we find ways to bless them and encourage them every day, for they are special. We thank you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us today. In 2 weeks, we plan to meet together here. Let's plan to get together Sunday, May 24th. But today, well, happy Mother's Day, Mom.